is Citizens Health Corporation against Sebelius. Mr. Hay.
Good morning, Your Honors, and thank you for allowing me this morning. I am Aaron Haight. I represent Citizens Health Corporation, which brought this action by the authority of its chair, Lula Journey. Citizens is a 501c3 corporation situated in Indianapolis, Indiana. In 1995, it was formed by doctors in Indianapolis, and shortly thereafter, they became a federally qualified health care center.
And we understand sort of that history, but let me just get to the issue at hand. You don't have that much time. You don't dispute that your relationship with HHC broke down, and you don't dispute that the relationship was a requirement for continued grant funding. So what difference would more hearings have made, and what would you have attempted to show in those hearings?
Perry, I agree that the situation had broken down, the relationship had broken down. But what I want the court to recall and what I wanted this district court to understand was Citizens had this 330 grant prior to the time that it ran into financial difficulty that required it to have a financial partner who could handle the funds and manage through. That existed. That was the same grant that existed at the time that Health and Hospital terminated the grant. At that point in time, Health and Hospital had no interest greater than Citizens. In fact, it would not have qualified for a 330 grant under its own right. If you look at the pleadings made by Health and Hospital Corporation in their statement of facts and in the district court's findings, Health and Hospital Corporation had to next qualify before it could apply in its own name for a Section 330 grant. It had been simply a facilitator. Citizens had the grant, and Citizens is not a government agency, Indian tribe, or anything that fits under that Section 92 that the government imposed upon us. Citizens is a private 501c3, had qualified for a Section 330 grant, had financial problems, sought a financial partner, and that is what the recitations read in each one of those agreements that you find in the record. Not that Health and Hospital is a standalone grantee under Section 330. Citizens was that standalone. And what the trial court misunderstood and applied different law to was to make Citizens the same as something that would apply under 92, as they argued, which would have meant that we were an Indian tribe. And the confusion was Health and Hospital and the government looking for a way to say that Citizens was not even the person in interest in the grant. Citizens and Health and Hospital's co-applicant agreements read, because Citizens had financial difficulty and we all want to keep the services in the area, we will become Citizens' financial partner. Not the partner that delivered the services, the financial partner.
So now get back to the question. So what difference would more hearings have made?
If we had had an opportunity for the administrative hearing as provided for in the Section 74 series, we could have shown and reminded the agency that Citizens was the grantee that needed a
but
financial
you weren't
management
the grant,
partner.
You weren't the grantee. You were the co-applicant, right?
Citizens was the co-applicant
right.
because
okay.
it needed a financial partner, not because it was not qualified for the grant. Regardless
of the reasons, you were not the grantee.
Yes, we were the grantee. The co-applicants
were the
grantee. Under the law that applies to the situation under the 74 series, the co-applicants can join as one to make the application. One of those can put an entity, the co-applicant entity, can agree that only one name show on the grant. And throughout the record, that shows that the parties agreed, and in the co-applicant agreement, it reads that the grant will be held in the name of Health and Hospital Corporation. The co-applicant agreement describes accurately the relationship between the parties. Citizens and the grant existed before Citizens had financial difficulty. Because the Citizens had financial difficulty and was allowed by the regulations to have a co-applicant to satisfy the financial concerns of Hersher, it did not change the nature of the grant or change the nature of the entity that Citizens was, nor change the entity that Health and Hospital was.
So you think you were the grantee?
We were the grantee, and at best
in 2012?
In 2011. In 2012, the health and hospital had convinced, and Hersha had decided, that Citizens was somehow governed by the 92 section, which it was not. If you notice the arguments we made seeking that hearing, they write back as if we were not the original applicants.
But that new co-applicant agreement that was entered into in September of 2011 only lasted until February of 2012 with an option to renew one-year terms, right?
But remember the argument that we're making.
Isn't that right, though? First, that's right.
That is the last co-applicant agreement. It lasted for 1 year.
And it expired February 2012 with an option to renew.
Thereabouts. But it also said that in there, the health and hospital would seek status to allow it to apply for 330. Our argument was over the grant that was granted in 2010 to run through 2016, and that was the one that Health and Hospital felt that it could terminate, and the agency agreed that it could terminate unilaterally. That is the argument we made in before the district court, the argument we're bringing here. They had no standing. They had no interest in this grant, but for Citizens. They were a co-applicant.
And they wanted out, and
the
they wanted out, and they had the right to seek that under the regulations.
We don't think the regulations.
Mr. Haith, let me just ask you: how does a co-applicant have a property interest in either the grant or an expired contract?
The time of the lawsuit was prior to the time that the grant was terminated. The grant was terminated November 30th, 2011. We
right.
filed a lawsuit about that time.
Well, I don't care about the timing of the lawsuit, Mr. Haith. I'm asking you how you have a property interest in a grant when you're not the grantee and in a contract that has expired.
But that's the premise I'm disagreeing with. We were the grantee. We were co-applicant grantees. What happened was we needed a financial partner. The regulations under 74 allowed the entity to make a co-applicant agreement. It also
would you agree then, Mr. Haith, that your case depends upon recognizing Citizens Health as the grantee?
As a co-applicant with equal status, and one couldn't terminate without the consent of the other.
And do you have any cases that you can cite that support your position that as a co-applicant you are a grantee?
I have the regulations that I cited in the brief, the 42 and under the enabling statute itself, 42 SC 245, allows for co-applicant arrangements, as does the regulations allow for co-applicant arrangements.
Do you have any cases that support your interpretation of that clause and your position that as a co-applicant that equals being a grantee under the...
No, Your Honor. To answer your question specifically, no, I did not find a case that defined that. I also would point to you that there was no case cited by either the government or Health and Hospital Corporation that defined the co-applicant agreement in any way different than you will find it referenced in the Code of Federal Regulations. You have to also remember at the time that this happened in 2001, the statute that the government later relies on and says that it 92 applied since 88, 92 applied to Indian tribes, governments, and similar entities. I'm sorry?
Referring to 45 U.S.C. Part 92, perhaps?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm sorry about that.
Using language that we generalists can follow will help.
Yes, sir. I am referring to that section, and when I say...
section, it's a part.
Yes, sir. But under that section, the Part 92, Citizens, in order to qualify in the first place, would have been one of the entities named. We were not. Citizens was allowed to apply under the Section 330 grants pursuant to 45 CFR Part 51C, 42 CFR Part A 74, and not 45 CFR Part 92. We were not a state or local government entity within the meaning of 45 CFR Part 92, not at the time the first co-applicant agreement was written in 2000 when Citizens was already receiving the 330 grant, and nor had it changed its status at the time that Health and Hospital exercised a claim that it had greater than Citizens to terminate the grant unilaterally. This is like saying that you are partners, but I have the authority because you said I could make the payments to terminate your entire interest. Health and Hospital had no interest without Citizens. Citizens' interest came because, first, they qualified to receive the grant on the 330. Second, it was the reliant upon it. It was providing the services, and it suffered as a result of not having it, which is clearly within the meaning of the identifiable property interest in the property as determined by this court. There is no argument in any place that says that Health and Hospital could have had this grant should Citizens have decided to terminate. Health and Hospital could not have held the grant because it didn't qualify under the statute or the regulations at that time.
Can I ask you a question here? What exact relief do you want at this point from the federal defendants?
From the federal defendants?
Yes.
We wanted the grant that was in place for a term of 4 years to remain in place unless and until the government, pursuant to that same 42 part A-74, made its allegation that Citizens are not performing and sought the termination.
So you want the grant restored to Citizens without having HHC as a partner?
I believe that under the Code of Federal Relations that we operated under, Citizens could have found another financial partner satisfactory.
The answer to my question is yes?
Yes.
Okay. And what exact relief do you want from HHC?
From Health and Hospital Corporation, we believe that they breached the contract. We believe we've been damaged thereby. We do not think that the court applied the proper law, so the motion for summary judgment was and grant thereof was premised on improper law. And we ask him from
a question, please, which is what exact relief do you want?
Based on a complaint, we ask that Health and Hospital be enjoined from breaching the agreement. We also ask for damages.
What agreement? What? The agreement between your client and HHC expired.
Yeah. Your Honor, the lawsuit was based on the grant that was in place. The new co-applicant agreement.
Is it your
came
theory?
After
is it your
grant.
Theory, Mr. Haith, that HHC was legally obliged to renew the contract with you after it expired?
It was our position that HHC was not obliged to usurp the opportunity.
That doesn't answer my question.
Yes, unless there was some means by which it could breach the agreement as the agreement was written, which would require the parties to...
I don't understand the concept, counsel. It was a term-limited agreement. It lasted for a year. It expired by its terms. What you seem to be saying is that it was an agreement, should be understood to be enforced as an agreement for an indefinite time?
No, sir. What I'm saying is that Health and Hospital...
would there be to treat a one-year agreement as a five-year agreement?
Health and Hospital had one way to the table, and that was for Citizens who had the grant and for Health and Hospital to be their co-applicant. Well, that was the only way to the table. That's
counsel,
the only way they could be.
Stop.
Yes, sir.
I asked you a question. The question is, what legal authority is there for treating a one-year agreement as a five-year agreement? You have to answer that question by citing legal authority.
We alleged in the complaint that they...
Your complaint is not legal authority. I am asking for a citation to legal authority.
Your Honor, I do not have a citation
not
to
have
the question
it.
That you asked.
Right.
No, I do not. But I do want to emphasize that Health and Hospital would not have been at the table had it not been for Citizens having the grant, the Section 330 grant, and asking them to serve as their financial partner only. I'm asking the court to read the recitals in the co-applicant agreements and to accept that to be the terms by which this agreement was to be governed. We believe that the agreement was breached by Health and Hospital by using its superior position.
So you're not disputing that you didn't get sufficient process or sufficient notice that they were going to terminate the agreement, right? Because you got notice in mid-2011.
Yes, sir. And we objected to Hersha asking that we replace our financial co-applicant. And that's recited in the government's, admitted in the government's brief and response. But we sought to cure it because we, the citizens, believed that the grant was his. It needed a financial partner. We asked for relief from that. We asked also, citizens asked that they be reassessed to determine whether or not they could go without a financial partner and return to the status it enjoyed through 2001 when it had financial difficulties. I reserve my time. Subject, please.
Certainly, Mr. Haith?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Julian.
Good morning, Your Honor. Jill Julian with the United States Attorney's Office on behalf of the Secretary and HRSA. Health and Hospital is the grantee of record in this case. The administrative record is replete with references to Health and Hospital Corporation as the grantee and with citizens' understanding of that as a matter of fact. There seems to be a little bit confusion as to what status a co-applicant has. The regulations that discuss a co-applicant are in 42 CFR Part 51C, which simply provides that an application can be made and that there can be a co-applicant. There is nothing in Part 74 that governs the co-applicant arrangement. Rather, that arrangement or relationship is generally governed by the PIN or policy notices issued by HRSA, which are not in the Code of Federal Regulations, but I believe Health and Hospital Corporation has put some of those in the supplemental appendix. That's where the relationship between citizens and Health and Hospital Corporation exists. When that relationship ended, there was no further entitlement to the grant by the co-applicant citizens, and there is nothing in the regulations that provides the co-applicant any ability to challenge that determination. The process that the Secretary used in accepting the relinquishment of the grant is the process that is in regulations at 45 CFR Part 92. Significantly, and I understand that Citizens takes issue with the application of Part 92 as opposed to Part 74, the Secretary will note for the Court that in Citizens' opening brief in the District Court at Docket 49, Citizens actually cited both 92 and Part 74 indiscriminately for various parts and did not indicate at that time that it felt that Part 92 did not apply. The argument at that time that Citizens raised was simply that it's the statute that controls and not the regulations. And then as litigation progressed, Citizens then started to take issue with the application of Part 92. But as the District Court found, and as is clear from the regulations, when you compare the termination definition in Part 74 to Part 92, the result is the same regardless of which regulation is applied. Both of those provisions allow for the voluntary termination of the grant by the grantee. In regard to the issue of a property interest, that argument was waived below, as noted by the District Court in its decision. When the United States, when the Secretary moved to dismiss, indicating that there was no property interest, Citizens chose not to respond to that argument. On appeal, Citizens argues that it did, in fact, raise the argument in its preliminary injunction motion, but a review of that indicates that the argument was based solely on the irreparable harm that it may suffer should the voluntary relinquishment not be rescinded by the District Court. And unless if Your Honors have any other questions, we'll stand on our brief file with the Court.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Julian. Mr. Larimore.
May it please the Court. Much of what I would say, I think Ms. Julian has already said. Mr. Haith indicated that somehow this is Citizens' grant, but it is not. We were the grantee. We were not just a financial pass-through. We are responsible to HRSA for the administration of the grant and for the use of the funds. There is no provision in law that makes the co-applicant equal in status to the grantee. There is no provision in law saying that the grant cannot be terminated or relinquished without the assent of the co-applicant. As Ms. Julian said,
I imagine there could be such a restriction by contract. Did the contract between your client and Citizens Health include any restriction on whether your client could abandon the grant?
No. No. And that would only obviously be a restriction on what we could do, not on what the United States could approve.
Right. But what happened here is that your client abandoned the grant.
Yes. That's correct. I think the technical term is relinquished. And that is exactly what we did. Co-applicant, the term co-applicant only exists in all of the, it doesn't exist in the statute. It only exists in the regulation in one place, which is 45 CFR 51 little c dot 302. And it just uses the term. It doesn't define the term or explain it. And so Ms. Julian's correct that you have to look to the policy information notices, the main one of which we submitted on summary judgment and have included in our supplemental appendix, which outlines what this co-applicant relationship really means and does not provide the co-applicant with the kinds of rights that Citizens has asserted here.
Just to go back for a moment on the contractual question, HHC moved to relinquish the grant. Did that occur after the expiration of the contract with Citizens?
We notified HRSA of our intention to relinquish the grant about 2 weeks before the...
Who?
HRSA, the Health Resources and Services Administration.
You used real words.
I apologize.
There isn't even an E in HRSA. You used real words, as I said to Mr. Haith, we're generalists. You talking in a way that can communicate to us would help.
You told the federal agency what, when?
we told the federal agency that we intended to relinquish the grant about 2 weeks before the expiration date of the co-applicant agreement. But the relinquishment occurred not until
November.
Would be about 8-9 months later.
Okay.
If the court has no other questions, we'll rest on our brief. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Anything further, Mr. Haith?
Very briefly, Your Honor. Thank you.
Guaranteed.
I want to specify that the application for funds to operate as a co-applicant and the determination of what a co-applicant is and their rights appears in the federal regulations at 45 CFR Part 51, starting at Section 301. Everyone wants to forget that that's how this entity operated from 2001 until Health and Hospital became dissatisfied. I also want to remind you that HRSA believed under that agreement, or Health Resources Administration believed under that agreement, that they were required to mediate. They started the mediation, never terminated it. Thank you very much.
Case will be taken under advisement. We'll hear